Good afternoon and welcome everybody to CMC Radio. I'm your host, Rob May, and joining me today is Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Amity, how are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Looking forward to our last interview.
I know. The 12 episode series, very informative, provocative a little bit, and with the course of the things that have happened over the past few months, the issues at hand are definitely very relevant today. So, for everybody that's just catching up with our series here with Amity, Amity founded the Straight Spouse Network, and who better to tell you a little bit about that than the founder herself? So, Amity, please share with us a little bit about the Straight Spouse Network, how it started, and what it's there for.
Okay. The Straight Spouse Network started about 20 years ago, a little less than 20 years ago, 20-some years ago. After my husband came out as a gay man after 25 years of marriage, and there were some support groups around and a few things written about gay married men, and I realized that there really was nothing for the straight spouses who are taken off, completely off guard when their husbands
right.
or wives say, hey, honey, I'm really gay or I'm lesbian or bisexual or transgender. So one of the people I interviewed for my first book had started a task force for what we call ourselves straight spouses. And I thought, well, from my work and education and that sort of thing, task force isn't what we need. We need a network of people, volunteers out there working, helping. So I founded the network in 1991, and it became a nonprofit in 92. And what we do is we provide anybody whose husband or wife comes out, or you think they are, a place to go where they can talk with others who have been there, find out they're not alone, find out what the research is about this, find out how they can work it out with their, so at least they have a good friendship, if not stay married with their partners
right.
and so on and so on.
And I know that with the success of the organization, you've been able to help people from literally all over the world with
all
different groups
that
you're able to. That's fantastic.
Yeah. Right. We have 57 support groups here. We have about 9 online groups and groups that have spawned themselves from there, and it's really quite wonderful.
And now another thing that I want to stress to people is that you guys don't, it's not so much therapy, but it's just more of a finding a group, a peer-oriented group, right?
It's peer support and research-based information. If you're in a group, group members can say, hey, I have a good therapist.
Uh-huh.
But we don't recommend therapy as therapists, and we aren't therapy. We're there to listen and reflect back and say, oh, this is how I did it. We're not there to gay bash. We're not there to tell you what to do. We're not there to tell you what you did wrong. We're just there to listen and support.
Right. And what you said there, too, that the group is definitely anti-gay and lesbian bashing.
Yes.
I mean, obviously, because as we've discussed over the episodes, people, I'm sure it's happened where people have kind of come into it a little hostile towards the gay or lesbian community as they have just, they can take it as a sign of, oh, my spouse left me for another, man or woman, and how could they do this to me, and this isn't right. But why don't you share with us then a little bit about the situation itself. How can people kind of question their spouse if they do have something arising where they think maybe this is happening, maybe this isn't happening? What are some of the best ways to kind of go about finding out?
Well, just be honest. I just say, I have this feeling that we're drifting apart, or how come I've noticed you're spending an awful lot of time on these gay sites or something like that. Just ask for an honest conversation, because it's a horrible struggle for someone in the closet to be so much in the closet they've pulled somebody else in there with them. It's very, very hard to face themselves, much less speak out honestly. So be there honestly, not accusatorily,
Right.
Even though, of course, it's, you know, very hurtful to say, what's going on? What's going on?
Absolutely. And I know that we've gone over this, but again, I do want to make sure that people kind of know and understand the feeling that occurs. What do you go through when it first hits you? Kind of take us through the phases that people are going to undergo.
Okay. Well, the first is you're completely stunned. If you've had some ideas before, and most of us don't. I know some people say, how come you didn't know? Well, why would a gay man marry me? Or why would a lesbian marry me? You know, you wouldn't even think about it. So, but gradually you think, gosh, well, what's wrong with me? That aren't I enough that he had to turn to someone of his own gender or someone of her own gender? What's wrong with my sexuality? And, oh, God, what is this going to mean for the marriage? And what about the kids? And, oh, my gosh, I'm a failure. And so your own identity gets all screwed up, and you think, this is terrible. What do I do? What's wrong with me? And these are the major kind of issues, your own sexuality, the marriage, the kids, your own identity or self-concept,
sure.
And your moral compass. You know, here you've been living someone else's lie, attempt to do the right thing, according to them, but it wasn't true. You know, your moral compass is all screwed up, and there's no meaning left to life, no purpose. You have no belief system, so you're really a mess, just a real mess.
And so this happens to people, and all of a sudden, they don't know where to turn. So how are the best ways, or what are the best ways then, to contact the Straight Spouse Network so that everyone knows, you know, exactly where to go and where to turn to in this?
Yeah, well, they can go directly to the network, www.straightspouse.org. The website's sort of in transition now, but you get there, and there's a place that you can say help, and we have a triage process. And within 24 hours, you'll get an answer back as to where's the closest support group. Your readings, it'll be good for you. Be in touch. Or they can, you know, always email me directly, founder@straightspouse.org.
And now, as people go through the website, and there's all of this, you know, incredible information to really put them on the right path. Now, did you personally research the majority of what is on the website that we can view at straightspouse.org?
Well, all the research articles on there are all written by me. I'm the only one that's really done any research on the straight spouses. Other people as well as I have done research on couples who stay together after one of them comes out. At the moment, I can't say I have put the stamp of approval on everything on there. There's a blog article, so, you know, just expressions of things. But the main source of help are peers, either one-on-one by telephone or meeting for a cup of coffee or finding a group or getting a mailing group online and talking with them.
Okay. And now, I
want to... Okay.
Go ahead. No, please go ahead.
I was going to say that you asked me about what steps they go through. For my first book, there's a very important section on your healing body, emotions, and spirit, because this strong self-concept is really what we're ending up at, and so you need to heal your body and emotions and your spirit, and you have to learn from your past and discover an authentic identity for yourself, which is interesting because that's what your gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender spouse was going through before he or she came out, was trying to be authentic. And so there are lots of ways people do it. Some people just write in their journal to follow what they're doing. One of the things is in this chapter I have section in Healing Body, Emotions, and Spirit. Domestic chores may need to be decreased to derive the most benefit from this healing period. Don't try to be Superman or Superwoman. Seek help from others. And that's very hard for some of these because they're very independent folks. And seeking help is really wonderful, particularly when family and partners and people listening to this broadcast are ready to assist. And to self-nourish and minimize artificial supports like alcohol and cigarettes and drugs and non-thinking experiences like music. And sometimes people go off somewhere. There's a woman in this book who's Chinese. She removed herself from the eye of the storm to recoup her emotional strength through meditation in the Buddhist way. Other people turn to Sufi texts or going off to workshops on Native American spirituality, all kinds of things. But the main thing is to rebuild who they are.
And that process of rebuilding, I mean, what can people expect as far as, and it might be a tough question to give a precise time frame to, but what typically can be the time frame of that?
3 to 6 years.
Wow.
Not easy.
Right.
Not easy.
No.
Because you've got all these emotions coming up. You're hurt terribly, and you're angry that you didn't know this, and you feel betrayed, and you're scared to death of the future. Fear is there. And only until you work through all of this and say, okay. And one of these goals, Rob, is understanding. That's why the research-based literature is so important. If they can understand the whole situation, that it was society's saying, if you want to marry, you got to marry someone of the opposite gender, or society as a whole, or your family or your religion, and so that caused this marriage to happen, and we straight spouses are the victims.
Right. And now, to say that in one breath, I mean, obviously, both parties are definitely affected, and I know that we covered that there's, you know, obviously with children involved, that can be a whole other aspect of things that people have to really work towards. And it's not enough just for the couples to try to work at whatever type of relationship they're going to maintain.
Mm-hmm.
The statistic that you've thrown at us now for people trying to stay together that actually do succeed in that, why don't you just kind of refresh everyone's memory with that a little bit?
Okay, well, about a third of the couples break up right away because the gay, lesbian, bisexual, or transgender has already kind of started a life, or the straight spouse is so upset that she says, get out of here. Another third stay together till they can sort it out and rebuild their friendship and figure out what to do with it's best with the kids. Another third say, you know what, I think we can work this out. And a half of them, meaning a sixth of the total,
are still together
after 3 years.
Wow. So it's tough.
Yeah, it's really tough. And it's hard for both the gay lesbian partner who comes out and the straight spouse. They don't want to hurt their spouses whom they love, but they're stuck, and they have to be who they are. They have to be authentic. And so, yes, it's hard, but they can't hold it in any longer, and that's what's so hard. So gradually the straight spouse can realize that it wasn't a deliberate hurt for them. They're the innocent bystander caught in the wake of this event.
And obviously one example very out there in the media of late has been the Caitlyn Jenner introduction. So I want to get your perspective of this. As far as Jenner and the family is concerned, what do you think about all that?
I don't know. I don't know enough about the details. All I know is that both parties were in the headlines.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how they can possibly be authentic when they're under the microscope. That's all
right.
I can say. I really don't
sure.
know their personal stories. We have a reality show, and we have an Olympic star on one side. We have a reality show star on another side. I really can't get a grip
right.
on it.
Right, I understand. I understand where you're coming from with that, and I'm sure a lot of people do kind of question the intentions of everything that the family does do in the public eye, because obviously they welcome the cameras so often.
Yeah, well said.
But let me just, I do want to kind of ask you about that. I'm not trying to pull teeth or anything, but, you know, for, let's say, for a normal family, we'll say normal, just we'll say outside of the microscope, just, you know, one day the father comes home and says, you know what, I would rather be a woman. You know,
I've got some fun stories about that. Very interesting stories. It's very hard because not only do they change the gender, but they're physically changing, not just
mm-hmm.
internally changing. And we have kids. When I was interviewing a bunch of children, they said, it was so funny to see Dad in pearls vacuuming the dining room rug. Little things like that. And
mm-hmm.
There's one woman who, her husband came out, and they continued to have sex because he hadn't completed, he wasn't a transsexual, he was just a transgender.
Right.
And so they continued to have sex. And then she wrote me one day and said, you know, Amity, guess what? I've discovered I'm a lesbian.
Oh, wow.
So there was still
right.
that sexual draw, and the physical
yep.
change fit right into her thing. It's very, very, very hard with the transgender, and there's a very good support group in Cleveland, Ohio, that's been going for years, and they have online groups. It's listed on our website if people are in that situation. But it is hard because the physical part changes, and with the gay, lesbian, bisexual, they're still physically the same. They're unavailable, unfortunately. Not the bisexual. The bisexual is still available, but for the gay and lesbian, spouse of a gay or lesbian, their spouses is not as attracted. And yeah, I think I told you before, there's this couple in Florida. He came out, I don't know, 10 years ago.
Sure.
He decided, you know, I love her and I can still practice sex, so I have sex with her to show her I love her. I'm not attracted, but I show it's my way of showing I love her. So there's
right.
all sorts of ways, and I
mm-hmm.
think that's one of the things that's great about the Straight Spouse Network, because they can offer all kinds of examples of how it worked out.
Sure, and I mean, in so many different variations as well. I mean, obviously, you know, the situation doesn't come in one shape or form. There's so many different ways, obviously, as we've just gone over. And so, Amity, I want to, and for everyone that's just joining us now, I'm with Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Check out the straightspouse.org for more incredible information for anybody that's interested or knows anyone that's affected by this situation. With the two books that you've written now, The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis
mm-hmm.
for Straight Spouses
mm-hmm.
and Families,
mm-hmm.
and the other book is Unseen, Unheard, Straight Spouses from mm-hmm. Trauma to Transformation. What are the books about? What did you do for them, and where can people find them?
Okay. The Other Side of the Closet, The Coming Out Crisis for Straight Spouses and Families, I wrote back in the late 80s, early 90s, 94 was when it was published. By then, we had our network going, so I knew spouses, and I also wrote to people who my therapist was a social worker and very active in the social work network, and so social workers network, and so I got a whole bunch of spouses to agree to tell me their stories, and I interviewed them by phone or in person, asking just what happened, how did you feel, what did you do about it.
Right.
And then I analyzed all these stories over and over and over until I could see what themes, what issues seemed to be common to them all. And that's the book, The Other Side of the Closet, has the stories in there that I picked to illustrate best, the six major issues. which I mentioned before, sexuality, mm-hmm. marriage, kids, identity, integrity, and belief system. But also I have a discussion in there from research. For example, when we talk about anger, the anger thing, I have a whole section in there on using anger constructively. Fury usually stems from expectations about what the partner should have done. And then I refer to Albert Ellis, who is a famous psychologist who established the Institute for Rational Emotive Therapy. And he says anger is really when people don't do what you think they should. So who are you to say what they're supposed to do? So they can learn how to look at anger as resulting from a specific feeling, like frustration or disappointment or irritation or pain, and then say, what am I really angry about? Then they can handle the feeling and let go of the anger and put the anger into doing something constructive, like housework or jogging or something like that.
Right.
That's just an example of what the other side of the closet does. It looks at the issues, has two or three stories told by straight spouses, one lesbian spouse, one gay spouse, and some kids.
Mm-hmm. And so for Unseen Unheard, then?
For Unseen Unheard, it's very different. It answers the questions about how do they get through it? What's the process? So it goes from the first cries of pain, forging through the fire, the sole survivor, turning points, tug of war, what to do next, and now, where they ended up. And that, for that, I picked out emails sent on our Straight Spouse Network online programs over the past 5 years, people who have spoken with me at conferences. So it's in their voices, for example, pain. What's with me? I seem to go 2 or 3 weeks and I feel okay, and then I wake up and I have anxieties and panic attacks.
Right.
You can follow mm-hmm. in their footsteps.
Absolutely. So each book does serve its own purpose differently,
yeah.
obviously. Okay.
Right.
Now, with this being your last episode, and I really do hope that we get you back, in the near future, just to keep up and find out how everything's going for you guys over there at Straight Spouse Network. I do want to know. I want to ask how, because this is something I don't know if we really covered too much. But what is the negative impact on the? I want to ask you in two different ways. So, what's the negative impact on the gay and lesbian partner in this situation?
Oh, they don't want to be seen as breaking up a marriage. A lot of them love their wives. They don't want to do this, but they have to. Many times people will talk about they have a compartmentalized brain. One is their gay thing that they've been fighting all their lives, and the other is the straight. And so they've kept them compartmentalized. Now they can't, so they are facing the results of what they've done. And they're sad about it. But some straight spouses are, they're so angry and distraught that you've got, two parts of a settler's powder working against each other. So,
right.
The bottom line is they do gain the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender who comes out and is honest with himself, honest with his spouse, do gain authenticity and a feeling that, at last I can be who I am. Most of them will try to, make amends, to stay friends, do everything they can, because they're still co-parenting. But the big negative impact is the person who's taken aback, taken by surprise by this. When they end up, they feel, gee, I've gained a whole bunch. But at the time, the immediate impact is more on the straight. The negative impact is more on the straight spouse than the
other.
Over time, probably it gets closer.
Absolutely. And the impact of this ideal, the one man, one woman, that's marriage, that's how it should be. Why did it have And maybe you can share with us quickly, too, as far as how it's kind of changed over recent years with, you know, some of the court rulings now. But how has that affected behavior of, you know, people that are gay and lesbian? Why would they marry straight as opposed to that, you know, because of that ideal? How does that affect people?
Well, if they've grown up in a... If it's more acceptable, more of them won't do it.
Mm-hmm.
However, there are still conservative pockets of communities and countries and religions who say that is wrong, that marriage is only for kids. Now, one of the interesting things, I'm a Catholic, and one in Vatican II, they redefine marriage as a community of life and love. A community of life and love. It's not only to produce children.
Mm-hmm.
So the effect will be more gays and lesbians will not marry straight spouses. However, it could be that more will start coming out if they're already married. I just don't know.
Sure. And again, for everyone just joining us, we have a couple minutes left here on this 12-part series with Amity Buxton of the Straight Spouse Network. Check out straightspouse.org for a lot of information, especially if you know somebody that's involved in this or you personally are. So, Amity, if somebody's asking you just right off the bat, what is the mission of the Straight Spouse Network? Why don't you tell us that?
It's to provide support so they can heal and grow in understanding. Heal as individuals and grow in understanding of the whole situation. And then the other thing I want to add quickly, whoever's listening to this and following, we really appreciate any outsider who listens to the spouse's own words because it's very interesting, according to recent brain research, listening to us helps us.
Mm-hmm.
Now, since you're listening to me, one area of your brain is actually wired for feelings of happiness when triggered by social context. And when someone stuck in a negative state can bring about his recovery more effectively with your listening, then you yourself are also being helped, and your empathetic cells are growing like mad.
Absolutely. I cannot agree more with you. Now, again, with the best cure for somebody that's going through this, what would you say, how do you help them through quickly? I mean, I know it's a process.
Find somebody else who will listen to you. Say, oh, I know, you're not crazy. You don't have two heads. That happened to me too. Find a peer.
Sure.
And then if people start saying bad things about gay people or the inability of couples to make it, just start reading some of my research articles that couples can develop mutually effective, you know, relationships, stay married or at least stay friends. It's all very normal, but find somebody.
And really that seems to be the message that I've gotten from you over the course of this series, is that people who go through this, obviously they think that there's something wrong and they go through the emotions and the coping stages, but really they're not alone. This does happen
mm-hmm.
to people, and you know, aside from them being affected, you know, there is another person on the other side that has had to either hide or keep it secret the way that they wanted to live, but just kind of went with whatever they, you know, felt was deemed socially right.
Correct. And so if we can just forgiveness is probably the most powerful tool. Just let go. Doesn't mean forget, but just forgive. You can understand why they did it, so let go.
Absolutely. Well, Amity, again, I want to thank you so much for coming on to the show and you know, being a part of this 12-part series with us over here at CMC Radio. And I hope that people, you know, do listen and appreciate all that you guys are doing for everyone. So again, I want to make sure that everyone checks out the website at straightspouse.org. And Amity, thank you again for coming on to the show, and I hope to hear from you soon.
Yeah, so, thanks for your wonderful questions.
No problem at all. From everyone here at CMC Radio, this is Rob May saying we will see you soon. Take care, everybody.
Bye-bye.